What is one thing that, if it's elevated in 2025, makes the biggest impact on this football team?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the bug, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Tuesday. Ready to kick this thing off and talk about this football team in 2025 and having a lot of conversations. And obviously, a lot of them are, hey, if you could fix this and this and this, this team could be pretty good. If this team can do X, Y, and Z, this team can be pretty good. But what's the one thing? What's the one thing that makes the biggest impact? What's the one thing? It's a lot easier to get really good at one thing than it is multiple things, even though you got to be great at a lot of things to be a good football team. But what's the one thing that, if you could just flip a switch and if it could perform at a higher level in 2025, it would yield the biggest results for this Auburn football team? I asked that to the barn and got a bunch of really good answers, and I want to share some of those and then kind of get your opinion as well. You can hit me in the comments and let me know what you think. To be a part of this, you just got to sign up for thebarnauburn.com. Take $25 off your annual membership today for 2025. 25 off for 2025. It's easy. Just go to thebarnauburn.com. It automatically applies when you sign up, and you can jump in the fun. You can be a part of the show. And then obviously we have the insider information as well as just the community in general, which is great. So without further ado, the question is, what's one thing that, if it elevates in 2025, makes this Auburn football team much, much better? So just one thing. You're trying to come up with one item that does it. And I'm going to go to the first one. It's Sarge AU93. And I really love his take here, and I agree. I think he said it better than I've been able to express it. He says, the one thing that makes this team better is quarterback play, as it would give assurance that Hugh's scheme does, in fact, work. All the other areas surrounding seem significantly upgraded, so it really does become a process of elimination. I could not agree more. Process of elimination. You look at that's the one thing that I keep kind of harping on. You have to look at a long-standing track record, okay, instead of just sort of like a one-off period of time. And you look at literally every single quarterback that's come into this system has performed at an incredibly high level. And then all of a sudden, you have a little bit of an issue at times moving the football, picking up, converting on third down, scoring in the red zone, things that have never really happened before. So if you can get a little bit better quarterback play from the standpoint of not necessarily just the stat book. I mean, if you look at the stats, you would say, man, Peyton Thorne had a really good year. And from a pure statistical standpoint, you can't argue that. But you and I and everybody else have seen that the issues were not so much in the box score as they were, you know, on third and down or in the fourth quarter or when you're behind by, one score and you need a big drive, or what happens after a turnover. Those are the things that really seem to really bog things down, or the big turnover at a crucial time. All of those things are things that typically, when you look at when you go look at the track record, have not necessarily happened very often under Hugh Freeze. So if you can get better quarterback play, you can decide, hey, maybe it wasn't the system. Maybe it's not the system. If you get a little bit better quarterback play, it kind of proves that it does work. You know, Bo Wallace said you don't have to score a touchdown on every play. If you go with the mindset of just getting 4 yards a play, you're going to win more games than not. You're going to throw for 3,000 yards on run calls. Better quarterback play kind of proves that, hey, this thing can work. This thing's going to work. And, hey, if you have poor quarterback play, now you got multiple years that you can point to and say, okay, look, we've got the offensive line better. We've got the wide receivers better. In theory, you've got the quarterback kind of fixed, but you're still having the same issues. Maybe the problem's a little bit deeper. Better quarterback play to me, I agree. And I love the way you put this, solves a lot. And it's not just in the box score, it's in crucial times. I think I agree. I don't know that it's the most important, but it's got to be up there. So really, really good point. Bo Nix is him. Better play calling in the red zone. Auburn, it's no secret. Auburn did bog down a little bit at times in the red zone. And I sometimes wonder, is it just play calling? Or is it like lack of faith in a certain area, whether it be the offensive line, whether it be the quarterback, whether it be the wide receivers running the right route. So what happens is your playbook automatically shrinks when you get in the red zone, because obviously you got the extra defender, which is the back of the end zone. So your playbook shrinks in and of itself. And then your playbook shrinks even more because you start worrying about, can they block this? Can they execute this play? You know, they struggle with this in practice. Can I trust him to make the right decision? Can I do this? Can we block if they know we have to run the ball? All those things come into play when you get in the red zone. And the field shrinks in general, and then shrinks your playbook in general, and then all of those other decisions where you're unsure about certain areas of the team, that shrinks your playbook even more. So you get into the point of, you know, is it truly the play calling, or if you change a few pieces and you fix a few things, does it open up that playbook and make it a little bit easier to call plays in the red zone? I don't know what the chicken or the egg is in this situation. I don't know if it's just we're having play calling issues in general, or if there were issues that led to the decision making when you get into the red zone. Obviously, you got to figure that out, and you hope that, you know, again, fixing the offensive line, in theory, maybe getting a quarterback that better suits what you're looking to do. Receivers getting a little bit older and a little bit better. Bringing in Eric Singleton Jr. Maybe when you get to those where you feel confident in the red zone as a play caller, it opens things up. So, again, I agree. On the surface, we got to get better in the red zone in general. You got to be able to take advantage when you get there. Moving between the 20s is all fine and good, but if you can't consummate it with points, who cares? Who truly cares if you can't score points? Does I guess fixing some of the deficiencies from a talent perspective, does that make you feel a little bit more confident in the red zone play calling? Does that solve itself? We'll have to see. But again, got to get better in the red zone, 100%. And this kind of goes in line with it. And I just put this up because I thought this was funny. Not only the comment, but the name, Frank Tolbert's finger. You don't remember, he had the sixth digit basketball player from Red Level, Alabama. He had the sixth digit. I think he had an extra pinky. But anyway, only call good plays. Don't call the bad ones. I love that. I did a show with Tyler Siski, and one of the questions people always say, or one of the comments people always say, is you should only call plays that you feel like your guys can execute. And Siski says, you should ask Hugh that in a press conference. Hugh, why are you calling plays that don't work? Why didn't you only call the plays that did work? I thought that was hilarious. So it's funny. Yeah, good comment and great name. Frank Tolbert's finger, that gets me every single time. I feel like I remember, I could be wrong, but I feel like I remember something around the time where Auburn was going on their little streak and somebody used the outline of his hand for the sixth win. I feel like I remember that. I was a student around that time. I feel like I remember that, but I could be making it up in my head and think that I wish that somebody did that. But anyway, great name, great comment. Over front, another great name, kicking. Going to have a lot of close games, and you got to make the field goals. we're spoiled, man. Let's just call it what it is. Auburn fans have been spoiled. We have been spoiled with phenomenal kickers for seemingly well over a decade. You had both of the Carlson brothers. You had Alex McPherson last year, who quite frankly, quite literally never missed a field goal. You've had great kickers before that. You had your Damon Duvalls. You had your John Vaughns. You had all these guys that just seemed like they were going to be automatic. You just get inside the, you know, get around the 30-yard line, you know, 35-yard line, and you feel like, hey, there's a pretty good chance we're going to get points here. It just, that's just never been a thing for an Auburn fan in quite some time. And you go up, as a matter of fact, we make fun of other teams that struggle with that. We made fun of Alabama having kicking issues in crunch time. And then all of a sudden it's kind of come back. It kind of came back to bite us last year with the unfortunate health of Alex McPherson. And then you had Towns Magoo, who was just incredible in the spring game, super talented, who just for whatever reason lost some confidence, and then it became sort of like a head game. Talent is there. The leg is there. He's good from 60. I mean, the kid is a really good, powerful kicker, but he also was a true freshman. And if you just lose that little bit of confidence as a kicker, you start overthinking things, your mechanics get off. Then you're trying to overcompensate. It's just like a golf swing. If you got the hooks, you're trying not to hook it. Well, then you block one way outright. You're trying to overcompensate to keep yourself from making the same mistake, and you end up making other mistakes instead of just saying, I'm going to kick my way out of it. I'm going to trust my mechanics. I'm not going to try to change anything, and I'm going to, you know, be confident in what I do and go out and do it. Auburn's got to get better in the kicking game. It changes the mindset of so many things, the way you call plays, the way how risky you are, how many chances you take, because you know you can't, you may go way conservative because you feel like you can't get in a situation to where you got to kick a long field goal. So it just completely changes everything, the kicking game. And then, you know, punting. There were times at last year when, you know, I know he's talking specifically about field goals, but there were times last year when punting became sort of an issue. I feel like we almost kind of gave away the Texas A&M game there at the end because of just some shanked punts. That just another thing that typically doesn't happen. We don't typically just kick it very far, but you don't have a ton of return yards. You don't have a ton of issues on the punt game because, you know, your situation, whatever your plan is, they've been able to execute it. And last year there was some times where they struggled. So you got a new special teams coach. Hopefully that changes, things. I think it was just sort of more of a freakish thing last year than it was necessarily the coaching, but you brought in a head coach, a guy that's got head coaching experience to come in and coach your special teams. So you got to feel good about that. I mean, that's like tons of experience. And then there seems to be a little bit of confidence, maybe not much and maybe not super realistic, but there seems to be a little bit of confidence that, you know, Alex could possibly come back. So he's had a surgery. He seems to be gaining weight. It seems to be working. So if Alex can come back, that's just another person in the room. And then obviously you've added Connor Gibbs from Southern Miss. You got good competition that should yield, hopefully, at least one, you know, really good, you know, field goal kicker. And then Towns, I think, is still going to handle kickoffs because he can boom it. So there's a place for him regardless. But I still got a sneaky feeling Towns is going to be the guy. I just got a lot of faith in that kid. This is a good comment kind of building on that, Crossfire X. It also helps that, you know, quarterback issues, other teams, et cetera, it's a lot easier for a kicker to be good in clutch and needs less parts to succeed than saying fixing third down defense or, you know, a multitude of other things. And I completely agree. It's a single man. It's a one man game right there. Kicking doesn't typically require a lot of other things to make it better. It's just you. You know, it's just you. Quarterback play, you got to have the wide receivers get open. You got to have the offensive line protect. You got to have this. You got to have that to, you know, just to be able to have adequate quarterback play. Kicking is just it's just you and the ball. You know, and so I think I like that in the standpoint of if that one person can figure it out, it can make a big impact. I like that. Again, we're asking what one singular thing could make the biggest impact on this 2025 team if it were to be at a higher level. So one of the last ones, and then I'll tell you what mine is. Mr. Incredible. Pass protection, offensive line play as a whole. Give me an improved offensive line across the board, and I see at least a 9-win team this year. I'm there. I'm there with you. I think that would be a huge plus. There were times last year where if Auburn gets behind the chains and you know we got to pass it, they struggle, man. They struggled a little bit being able to pass block when the other team knows they have to pass the ball. When you get behind and you got to throw yourself back into the game, when it's, you know, a 2-minute drill or it's not even necessarily a 2-minute drill, but you're just trying to go a little bit faster, you're a couple scores down, and you got to make up ground quickly. They know we got to pass the ball. They're pinning their ears back, and we struggle blocking it. When it's, you know, third and short or fourth and one, and you got to pick up that 1 yard, and they know you got to pick up that 1 yard, and you're lined up in tight, and you're going to try to blow them off the ball, we struggled at times doing that. Had no problem run blocking when we could kind of keep things off balance in between the 20s, get inside the red zone. Again, goes back to red zone play calling. Gets a little bit tougher. You got to be – a lot of that is less about play calling, and it's more about, hey, that's the point of time. That's the point on the field where you got to just man up and beat the guy in front of you. And we struggled at times doing that. So I've thought about this a lot, and I think all these – there's great arguments for each individual one. To me, there's great arguments for the quarterback. There's great arguments for play calling. I was kind of surprised there was nothing on defense. I thought there would be at least one, hey, got to get better on third down. But all in all, I mean, let's just be honest. Defense never really cost us anything last year. Defense never really was, you could point to and say, dadgummit, man, the defense blew that one. You know, maybe there were some plays, there were some individual plays you could point to, but overall, the defense put us in position to win. I mean, I'd say every game, just about every game we played. I feel like the defense kind of got us enough stops to where if you could have done anything with it, I think you could have won a lot more games. So I think that's interesting, and it's a very telling and a huge, I guess, a huge vote of confidence or a huge, sign off on what DJ Durkin's done on the defensive side of the ball. And you feel good about that going into, going into 2025, that nothing, not one singular thing was about defense. But to me, it all comes down it really does come down to quarterback play. And again, you were who you were last year. You had who you had last year. And I think that, sure, there were times that quarterback play was good enough, and some other spots failed you. But all in all, if you go look at some of the bigger mistakes that Auburn made throughout the year, especially early, it was decision making at the quarterback position. You go look at some of the more clutch time plays that needed to be made. Could you make that big throw when you needed to make it? Could you, make the right decision in the read option RPO game? All of that to me seemed like the easy part of playing the quarterback. You know, again, getting it between the 20s and doing what you got to do there, that part we could do fine. And that yielded good box score results from a stat perspective. But when it's like gut check time, you know, when it's time to, you know, like Janiah Broome says, drop your you-know-whats, you got to have that guy that can do it. And I think if Jackson Arnold can be that guy, even if it's just from an attitude standpoint, you know, where the other guys have confidence in him, I think that's something that would elevate this team more than anything. Having a quarterback that can that those guys can look at and know and have faith in that this guy's going to make a play no matter what. If I do my job, this guy's going to make a play. Instead of feeling like I could do the best I can possibly do, and there's still it's 50-50. If we either get this play off, he throws an interception or takes a sack. So I think that one thing right there instills confidence in all the other positions. So I think I'm going with that one. I think I'm going to go with better quarterback play, better decision-making to me makes the biggest impact on everything. Because I think the offensive line at times last year was good enough. I think they gave up less sacks. You had more yards per carry, I think, than the year prior. So I think the offensive line at times last year was good enough. It's just whenever, you know, you get down at Missouri, when you go down to Missouri, do you have any faith that guy's going to be able to bring you back? When you get down at Cal, do you have any faith that guy was going to be able to bring you back? And so on and so forth. Anytime last year where we felt like we got down, there just wasn't a lot of faith that from the quarterback position, they were going to be able to make the plays to get it done, to bring you back into the game. He did do it against Texas A&M, and I'm very proud of him for that. Had a big fourth down conversion on a run. But even when Texas A&M had that last score, I had no faith we were going to go down and tie it up. No faith whatsoever. Thought that was it. That's ball game. But they did it. So if you can get more of that, I think it makes the team. I mean, look at that game right there. You had some clutch quarterback play, you know, when you had to have it, and you won a big game. You won a big game. I think they were ranked at the time. You won a ranked game, albeit at home in multiple overtimes. But that's good quarterback decision play, good quarterback decision making, playmaking from the quarterback position, and you won the game. So I think that makes the biggest impact. Let me know what you think. What makes the biggest impact on this team in 2025? That's the one thing. Just one thing. Don't give me a list. What's one thing? If you change, if X gets better, Auburn's going to be a good football team. Just one thing. Let me know what you think in the comments. Guys, I really appreciate it. Again, sign up for the Barn. You can be a part of these different types of conversations, be featured on the show. A lot of fun, great community in general. So definitely check us out at thebarnauburn.com. Guys, if you like the show, like it. If you like the channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. We're going to get back at it every single day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.